And away we go.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring you to with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We got a couple topics prepared that we would like to discuss with you, inform you about. But, you know, sometimes we'll go off the beaten path and you never know where exactly topics will lead us to.
We're very adventuresome like that.
Yeah.
Like explorers of podcast land.
Yeah, exploring the audio land between your ears.
The audio landscapes
in
the valley between your ears.
Lay I stand in the valley between your earlobes and we process the Crispy Noodle Podcast. That's from the book of Noodle.
The book of Noodle.
From the book of Noodle, chapter 3, verse.
I always love it when the when the priests read from the book of Noodle.
Yes, it's a very important one.
Yeah, it's not well known. It's not widely recognized as canon.
Right,
but it's still a very good one.
Yes. So make sure you're well aware of that. Before we delve into all the topics, I'd like to do a little intro as to what we've been up to. So, Mike, how's your week going? Anything new and exciting in the world of Costanzo Land?
Costanzo Land. Yeah, I was able to catch up on some movies and TV shows that I haven't been able to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
what the winter's good for.
You know what? Yeah, something we should mention. First snowfall of the winter season.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's right. This
couple inches.
What was it? Last weekend?
Last Saturday.
We had some snow.
Yeah, 3 to 4 inches.
I got to say, man.
At least here in the suburbs.
Right.
Jersey got like 6. Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah, right, to start off the winter? Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
they're getting hit hard.
Right. And then the Poconos got like nothing. Like, that's the one area.
Go figure.
Yeah.
That's flip flopped.
Right.
Usually it should be like Jersey gets like the slush and the rain. And
yeah. The nice mountainous ski area.
Yeah.
No snow.
Nothing. Dry. Bone dry. It's a desert.
It's the most Philadelphia thing you could think of.
Yeah.
Mountains? No snow for you.
It's all
Jersey, all the snow.
It's all topsy-turvy. But, you know, with the snow, it's a good chance to catch up on a lot of shows and movies that you haven't been able to see. And that's what I did. I got a chance to watch one of the big hits of 2017, The Big Sick. It was a very good movie. It was borderline extremely depressing, but they pulled it off in the end. I don't know what I guess it's a romantic comedy. I don't know if I would consider it a romantic comedy. It's more of a drama, I think, than a rom-com, because the comedy is I wouldn't say it's dark, but it's taking a very serious situation. It's the story of which you have this interracial relationship. This Indian guy falls in love with this white college girl, and you know his family's against it, but he loves her anyway. And so it follows that modern relationship. Everybody sort of knows the gist of it, and that she comes down with a very serious illness and she's hospitalized, and it's like right in the middle of their tumultuous relationship. So he's got to figure out whether he's gonna stick by her or, you know, just leave her be. Then he sort of strikes up a friendship with her parents and everything. So there's a lot of heavy material there. It's not a light film, but there's a surprising amount of humor in those trying times, you know, just sort of awkward moments that you can't help but laugh at just to relieve some of the stress, some of the strain of watching these difficult situations. So it was really good there. The characters were super relatable. Super endearing, very real. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The critics really enjoyed it. I wouldn't be surprised to see it get nominated for a few things in the Oscars. It's a really good movie. I usually don't watch movies like that, but it was, I felt like it was one of the big ones. I should probably watch it at some point. And it didn't disappoint. So, highly recommend The Big Sick.
Okay. Mike's movie recommendation?
I also watched, and this is funny because this is also not a genre that I normally watch. I watched Glow on Netflix. Yeah.
Watched some female wrestling.
The gorgeous ladies are wrestling.
Yeah.
That was actually a really, really good show. I watched basically the entire series in about a week. It's short. They're half-hour episodes, 10 episodes, so you can blast through it in like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's
basically one long Scorsese movie.
Right, exactly. It's like, do I want to watch, Wolf of Wall Street or Glow?
Yeah.
So those are two very different things.
You like Glow.
Yeah, Glow was great, and I got to say, Rich, as somebody who's never been a huge fan of wrestling, it really made me appreciate everything that goes on behind the scenes.
Right.
That's one of the big stories in Glow with the characters, is some of the characters, significant others or parents or whatever, they always say, oh, it's silly what you're doing. It's stupid what you're doing. You know, this is very amateurish. And the wrestlers, you know, they take offense to it because they are working very hard. And you get to see all the work that goes into it, sort of a little, I know it's fiction, but I feel like it gives you a good idea of what goes into learning the moves. They show, you know, they have scenes where they're training and it explains it and all the behind the scenes stuff and them coming up with the storylines. It was really, really interesting. It was very funny. The characters are awesome. It's from the same creators of Orange is the New Black. So it's going to have a similar styling, a similar tone to Orange is the New Black, if you can picture that. But I got to say, and you've always told me about the background and the history of wrestling, and I was always like, yeah, that's interesting. I get it. It's the storylines and everything, but I've never really watched that much of it. But watching Glow, is like, it clicked for me. I was like, okay, I sort of get it now, where everybody's coming from.
Right. And by the way, Glow was actually a real thing.
It's a real thing. And it actually makes me want to figure out, like, what happened to it. Was it successful? How long did it stick around?
It was really popular in the late 80s and 90s.
So it stuck around for a while.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, like, there's a good 5 or 6 seasons left, right? Because that's all I care about.
If they want to keep I mean, they could.
No, the characters were great. I love Alison Brie. She's...
She's a star of that show.
She's fantastic. I mean, I loved her in Community, and she's just as good in this show. Really good.
So, you know, you got a little bit of the taste of why we love, you know, us wrestling fans, why we love it.
I did. I got to say, you started me down that path by educating me, showing me some of the historic matches, and playing the video games. Of course, is always
the video games are
always blast. But you don't get the. You don't get the whole narrative when you're, like, playing the video game.
Right.
Or, like, when I watch it, when you show me, like, a historic match, like, out of context, you know, you explain the backstory, but watching the whole thing from start to finish and how it builds up the drama behind the scenes, it is like, okay, like, I understand.
Yeah.
It is, like, all clicking. And that's the same journey that the characters go through. Some of them start off like, oh, I'm just doing this. It's just a gig. This is just money. And then by the end of it, they really have a deep appreciation for it. And, you know, some of the characters you think, oh, they're not going to be there in the end because they don't care. There's that 180 and they end up being the strongest supporters of it. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
If you're going to do wrestling, you need to be in it. I find it very, very, very difficult. Somebody would half-ass it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, I love watching wrestling, so I'm glad you
should.
Caught...
You should definitely watch Glow. Yeah. Since you like wrestling, you should give it a shot.
It sounds like I could knock it out pretty fast too.
Oh
so.
Yeah, like I said, they're half hour episodes, and like 3 minutes of that is credits.
Yeah.
So
the next time we get 3 inches, that's what I'm gonna binge watch.
It really is. It's one afternoon. Okay. Like if you're really dedicated, it's one afternoon.
All right, there you
go. So instead of watching Casino for the 700th time.
That's one of my favorite movies. It is like a 4-hour movie, though.
Yeah.
But here's what I did.
What did you do during the snowstorm?
Yeah, my binge watching was I completed The Punisher on Netflix.
Ooh. I've been hearing some good things about it, actually.
It is. It lived up to the hype. I loved every minute of it.
Okay.
This is what the Marvel Universe needed. It's an R-rated, just action, but like over the top violence, action, blood, gore. It's just, I love it.
Okay.
It was like, it was funny. Like, I was reading something about it, and someone said, like, when you think about, like, the Marvel superheroes, you think of, you know, you think of, like, the Hulk. He has a superpower. You think right. of Thor. He's a god. You think of, it always seems to be like there's a superpower.
Right.
The Defender, or the Punisher, he's just a Marine. That's it. That's the only.
Just a dude with a gun.
Right. And he just lays.
Yeah.
Just lays havoc to everything in this series. It's great. But the storyline is also very good too. They tie into the war in Afghanistan. He's coming back from the war in Afghanistan.
Okay.
And he doesn't know who to trust coming back, trying to resume a quiet life.
Right.
Because he was in a secret assassination group in Afghanistan. Okay. So when he comes back, he doesn't know like who to trust. Can he trust his friends from the platoon, or can he trust the CIA agents that are supposed to look out for his safety?
So it's like PTSD mixed with that, like, paranoia.
Yeah.
I guess. So I'm assuming something probably happened when they were, I guess that's part of, that's an essential part of the plot.
Right. I'm trying not to give too much away.
Okay.
But that's one of the big themes is, like, you don't know who to trust in the series.
Okay.
And I love stuff like that. Anything like that that's done well, I enjoy. So
where
I love
it's like, yeah, anybody could be the bad guy.
Right. Yeah. So that part is excellent. I love the whole coming back from the war in Afghanistan part. That just adds to the story. One of the things I want to give a shout out to is one of the actors in it, Ben Barnes. He plays Billy Russo. He played a very magnificent role. He plays essentially the Punisher's best friend while he was in Afghanistan.
Okay.
But when he comes back home, he leads like a private task force, like a private like group of like security.
Like mercenaries type thing.
Right.
Okay.
And that plays into it. You don't know whether or not he is looking out for his best interests or looking out for his company's interests.
Right.
It's great. I love the whole... you don't know who to trust.
Right.
Like, it was, that theme is prevalent and I loved it and they played it out very well. And there's just a lot of great action scenes and over the top violence. It's great. So I highly recommend it. It just seems completely out of left field for Marvel. Cause like, I'm kind of used, the last things I've seen from Marvel have been,
the
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, the colorful, quippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, that's what I was like used to now. You know, the last couple of movies that I've seen from Marvel were always kind of like those like happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
There's a Joe from the 80s. You know.
Yeah. But it was just one-liners, yeah.
Right, but this was just straight up action and violence and just mature stories, and it was just such a wonderful breath of fresh air to the Marvel universe. I loved it.
You got to have that curveball every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, like Guardians of the Galaxy was a curveball, and then every movie after that has just been, like, let's be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, that's what I feel like.
It's just because that one had success doesn't mean that everything has to be like that one. It had success because it was different. That's why Punisher is having success, because it's different. It's that curveball. It's that breath of fresh air you're talking about.
It's just something new Marvel's doing, and I love it. So if you haven't watched it, I'd say go watch it. Jon Bernthal also, of course, is the perfect Punisher. This is the role he was destined to do.
Now, I think you told me once before that he played Shane in The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Okay.
And
that's actually relevant.
Yeah. it's funny you bring that up, because there was an interview that I was watching where he says, now kind of looking over everything, he was glad that he died in The Walking Dead.
Right.
Because imagine if they, you know, had like, you know, if they had Daryl envy with him or something, they kept him around this long, he would never been able to do Punisher.
Right.
So it was kind of a good thing he got killed off.
I mean, and his death was one of the best moments of the series.
Yeah.
But we'll be talking Walking Dead later.
That's right. Yeah, we do have news to talk about in Walking Dead land coming up in the entertainment entree. But first things first, let's go over sports news. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah. Sports coming at you in your face here. And it's time to do a quick segment where we hit a news topic in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. And the clock is on. You can go, Mike.
All right. Let's do this. It's time for the 2 minute drill. We have one big story. I love this. The big story is the Cleveland Browns. You got to give these guys some props. Cleveland Browns fans are a determined bunch. This year, they're determined not to miss out on any fun, so they're planning a parade if the Browns go 0-16. They don't want to be left out.
I love it.
I love this sentiment. Right now, you know, at 0-13, there's a pretty decent chance they could pull this off. Big fan Chris McNeil raised $10,000. Got a little bit of help from Excedrin, the pain medication.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to need all the aspirin.
They donated $7,500.
Good job.
Good on them. To relieve the pain, they yes. said. I mean, it's a marketing ploy. It's a good marketing ploy.
It's a good
though.
One, yeah.
But the plan is if the Browns go 0-16, they'll parade in a loop around the stadium to create a giant zero.
Yes.
I love that. The symbolism is just great. It's going to be the saddest, smallest parade ever, but it's perfect. It's perfect for the
All
Browns.
All of Cleveland needs to line up for that.
They do. They do. And I got to tell you, given the fact that they just became the first team in NFL history to start two consecutive years 0-13, I think they better start warming up the marching band.
Yeah.
Because it's not looking good.
Yeah. I mean, they had a chance last week against the Packers, went into overtime.
Yeah.
And they couldn't pull it off.
It's not looking good for them to win a game. Last year, they almost made it. The Browns actually donated. They matched the donations last year. They did the same thing. And they managed to raise $50,000, but they ended up winning a game near the end of the year. And so they donated that money to a charity, which is good. Good on the Browns and the fans. But I don't think they're going to be this lucky this year. I think the parade is happening.
I swear to football gods, if they beat the Steelers week 17, I will be pissed off. Don't do it.
And you know what? No story, no mention of the Cleveland Browns can pass us by without, of course, bringing up one of the best songs of all time, a multi-platinum selling song. I don't know what it's called. I just call it the Cleveland song.
It's a Cleveland song.
Rich, I believe you have it queued up for us.
Yeah, here you go. At 0-16, here we come, Cleveland.
Fun times in Cleveland again.
Still Cleveland.
Come on down to Cleveland town, everyone. Under construction since 1868. See our river that catches on fire. It's so polluted that all our fish have AIDS. We see the sun almost three times a year. This guy has at least two DUIs. Flats look like a Scooby-Doo ghost town. Don't slow down in East Cleveland or you'll die. Our economy's based on LeBron James. Buy a house for the price of a VCR. Our main export is crippling depression. We're so retarded that we think this is art. It could be worse though, at least we're not Detroit. We're not Detroit.
There you go.
Every time they say our main export is crippling depression, it just makes me giggle like a schoolgirl. I love that line so much.
And it's true.
It is. Because you know why? I just have an image in my head like their export is crippling depression. I just picture people squeegeeing tears into jars and bottling them. And the label says Cleveland depression.
Yep, just in case you need
just
a little
in case,
bit.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that at the end they say we're not Detroit.
Yeah.
Because a funny follow-up to that line is, what was it, a week or two ago, Detroit was trying to demolish the Pontiac Silverdome, and they failed.
They messed up, yeah.
They how do you fail demolishing a building?
I don't know.
Detroit found a way of doing it.
Good job.
So, I gotta admit, at least
they're not Detroit.
Yeah, Cleveland is right.
Yeah.
At least they're not Detroit.
They know how to demolish things, like
right.
football franchises.
Yes, congratulations. So,
and LeBron's chances of winning a championship every single year.
Yes, always down the drain. So there you go. Cleveland, keep being Cleveland. Let's see another 0-16 season happen. All right, now it's time to get to the news that I think everybody's been waiting for because, yeah, this just... Okay, so the Eagles win.
Right.
Woo!
Let's get that out of the way first. The Eagles
yeah.
edged past a big... playoff bound team, the LA Rams, they won 43-35, scoring an extra touchdown. And the closing minutes. But the big news, of course, I think we should just jump straight to quarterback Carson Wentz went down in the game with a knee injury. It was later revealed that he tore his ACL.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah, this is what everybody in Philadelphia was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is devastating.
I can't even be happy about the win. Like, I was like, after the game, I was like, all right, we beat a playoff bound team, but it's almost like it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know. Did you feel the same? I just feel like all the wind was just sucked out of my sails.
It was. Yeah. The rest of Sunday night was just teetering back and forth and just like searching for updates on Carson Wentz. Just like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What's happening? Oh, dear.
And the rumors were flying. It's like, it's OK. It's only a partial tear, or, well, they don't think it's a tear at all. It could be a sprain. He walked out on, he played an extra four snaps. So that shows that he's OK. And, you know, of course, nobody knows at the time. And then Monday, they came back with the MRIs, ACL tear. He's going to miss 9 to 12 months.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. I said good day.
I mean, this is pretty devastating.
This is worst case scenario.
Yeah. And I know some people online are saying, well, you know, some players will come back in 8 to 9 months. And that's great and all. But you don't want to risk, you know, a young franchise quarterback rushing back. Robert Griffin III. You don't want to risk that, because knee injuries are a serious thing. Look at Sam Bradford, RG3. You know, there's tons of quarterbacks have rushed back from injuries and they've re-injured or they've never been the same. I'd rather Carson Wentz take his time, not try and rush back in like 6 or 7 months.
Don't go on the Adrian Peterson schedule.
No. Adrian Peterson is a freak of nature. You can't match him.
Okay. So let's... All right. So
there's a lot to digest.
Yeah. So everybody's about to jump off the Ben Franklin Bridge with the Carson Wentz news. Let's flip it around. Let's look at the positives. Eagles pulled out the win here. This was actually a pretty good win on the defense, because they pulled out the stops in the fourth quarter when they needed to pull them out.
They really did. You know what? The defense had struggled a little bit in the third quarter. They gave up two touchdowns, and I think it was like 90-some seconds.
Yeah.
Actually, one was a blocked punt. That's not really the defense's fault.
No. Special teams.
Yeah. It was a little bit closer than I would have liked it, but, I mean, there's going to be close games in the NFL. Ultimately, the defense did step up and stop them. They held Jared Goff under 200 yards. They only allowed Todd Gurley to run for 96. I mean, that's a lot of yards, but for the most part...
For Todd Gurley? Yeah, that's actually a bad day.
A top five, top three running back, that's pretty good. They held them to 28% on third down. That's clutch there. So all in all, the defense did step up when they needed them to. That bend but don't break defense... It still worried me, the fact that we gave up 35 points, but this is a very good team.
Yes. All right, let's just delve right into it.
Okay.
Where do we go from here? This is what I posted on our social media channels. Where do we go now?
Well, where we go is the Meadowlands, and we face the Giants, and we, you know, the Eagles have always prided themselves on that next man up mentality.
Well, this is the ultimate test.
And unlike certain teams, Cowboys. We actually practice what we preach. I mean, we're losing games because we're missing an all-pro offensive tackle. Shut up. We're missing an all-pro tackle. We're missing linebacker. We're missing running back. We're missing cornerback. We're missing kicker. We're missing all those same positions. And we're going to continue to be that tough, determined, next-man-up team. Nick Foles, remember, is not a bad quarterback. Okay, he's not some Joe Schmo. He's not Geno Smith. You know, he's going to come in here and he's going to be competent. He's not going to put up Hall of Fame numbers. He's not going to drop 7 touchdowns on the Raiders again. But
that's a shame, because we do have a matchup with the Raiders.
I know. People were saying online, well, this time he's going to get 8 and finally break that stupid record. I'd love it, but I don't think it's going to happen. The point is, though, that we have other aspects of our game that we can lean on. We can lean on the run game. We can lean on the defense. Nick Foles has a lot of targets to throw to. Ertz, Jeffrey, Aguilar of all people. So this is going to be a test of, I think, the defense and the coaching. Can the defense step up when we really need them? Carson Wentz got us out of a few jams. Can the defense finally win us games on their own? Can Doug Peterson game plan for somebody who can't make circus throws in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
This is a huge test for those two components.
To me, I'm going the other way. I think the key is going to be this offensive line. The next 3 weeks, it's going to come down to the offensive line. Because here's the biggest difference from downgrading from Carson Wentz to Nick Foles. Nick Foles does not scramble. Foles is a pocket passer through and through.
Statue.
Right. So the offensive line has to protect him. If Nick Foles is going to get sacked 5, 6, 7, 8 times a game, all bets are off.
But
the
also,
offense is not going to get going.
And also, this speaks to the interconnectedness of football, but that, you know, also goes back. That's coaching, too. Doug Peterson has to recognize he's coaching for a different quarterback now. He can't have 5 wide packages and 4 wide packages. He's got to bring in, you know, the 2 tight end sets. He's got to bring in the double back sets and bring in those extra blockers.
If I'm Doug Peterson, I don't know why he doesn't call more double back plays.
We have phenomenal running backs and tight ends. I mean, when your backup tight end is Brent Celek, and I know he never lit the league on fire, he was a very good tight end for us for a while.
And then you have Burton, too.
And then you have Burton waiting in the wings. He's very good, too.
There should be full house packages.
There should be full house packages. You're absolutely right. And this is where Doug Peterson needs to step up as a coach. He needs to say, I recognize Nick Foles can't throw the deep ball as well as Carson. He can't escape the pocket like Carson. He can't scramble like Carson. We need to change the game plan from top to bottom. This isn't about calling, one or two different plays. This is about changing the mentality of the offense. So, yes, it is about the offensive line, but it's also about how Doug Peterson adapts and coaches that offensive line, because, you know, the offensive line's been playing good, and I'm sure they'll continue to play above average, but it's a different type of quarterback they're protecting now, and there's going to have to be changes from the top all the way to the bottom, all the way through this entire offense. They're going to have to change. It's going to be a huge test. I think it's one that they're capable of meeting. This offensive line they've stepped up at times. And Doug Peterson has stepped up at times, but it's going to be even more pronounced now.
Yes. What is your altered predictions now?
Altered predictions, I think we can still beat the Giants. They're 2-11. The Raiders, I give them a 50-50, and I think we're losing to the Cowboys last game of the season.
That sounds like something Philly would do.
It is. It's absolutely. So before, I thought definitely we could finish 14-2, 13-3. I'm leaning more towards 12-4, maybe even 11-5 now.
Well, 11-5, they lose out.
Oh no, sorry, 12-4. 12-4.
There you go. Yeah, that's not good.
11-5. No, I don't think they'll lose out. They'll win at least one.
Let's set the stakes here. If the Eagles win one out of those 3 remaining games, they clinch a bye week. That's huge.
That is huge.
If they win 2 out of the 3, they clinch home field advantage.
Really? All they need to win is any two of those?
Any two of them, yeah.
Wow.
So here's the key. That is going to be the barometer as far as I'm concerned. If they can clinch at least a bye week, they need to have the bye week.
Absolutely.
The stats show... When teams advance to the divisional round automatically, they have an easier road to the Super Bowl. They have more success getting to the Super Bowl.
Not only that, but because we're going to be working with a new offense, that extra week to game plan is going to be crucial.
Yes. So that is going to be a telltale sign. If the Eagles blow all 3 games, no. Then the ship is sinking.
There's a possibility it could happen.
It's a possibility.
I don't think it will. If we had Carson... I think we're guaranteed to win 2 of these last 3 games.
Right, but...
With Foles, I'd say I'm only comfortable saying we're going to win, guarantee 1 win, and then the other 2 are up for grabs.
Right. So...
If we drop to a 3rd seed, we're going out in the division round.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
If we don't secure the bye week, no, it's over. They're not going to go.
It still might be over in the divisional round, even if we get the number 1 seed. But I think we stand a better chance if we can prove we can play with Nick Foles.
Right.
I don't want to play that 6th seed team.
Yeah,
they're dangerous.
Always bad luck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the mindset should be just go out on Sunday against the Giants and just focus on the basics. Do whatever you can to secure
run.
A win.
Run the ball. Yeah. Control the clock. Run the ball.
Right.
Let your defense do what it does.
Yeah. We don't need to be flashy here. It does not need to be, you know, Nick Foles lights up. You know, I don't want to see Nick Foles dropping back 40 times.
I don't want to see a pass over 10 yards. My dad always says, why can't we be like the Patriots? Tom Brady does all those short routes. I'm like, we throw short routes too. I want to see a slow, steady, methodical approach. I don't want Nick Foles to have to scramble.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. I want something methodic, you know, something that really shows that they were thinking about play calling and the thought of the drive
right.
and everything like that. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what I
want to see. A lot of tight end involvement, a lot of running back involvement. I think they can manage it.
Yes. But nevertheless, we got to keep our eyes on the keys here. One game out of the remaining three, they clinch a bye week. Two, they clinch a home field advantage. So
that would be absolutely huge.
Yeah, the next three weeks are going to be very important to the future of the Eagles and whether or not they're actually going to contend for a Super Bowl run.
I want to know straight up, are the Eagles good enough to advance deep in the playoffs without Carson Wentz? Do you think team as a whole, do you think they're good enough?
Honestly, I think so. I have faith in Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Nick Foles arguably is actually coming into this year was probably one of the top five backup quarterbacks you could have had.
Yeah, people forget he is a competent quarterback. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Carson Wentz. He's not Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. He is a strong, competent quarterback. And we've seen in the past, you don't need Tom Brady's to win the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl with one and a half legs. And one shoulder. Brad Johnson, right? Didn't he win a Super Bowl?
With the Buccaneers,
Trent
yeah.
Dilfer.
With the Ravens.
Ben Roethlisberger, only his career, was only throwing like 14 passes a game. He won a Super Bowl throwing 14, 15 passes a game. You don't need to be lighting them up for 400 yards and four touchdowns to win Super Bowls.
The next three games need to be all methodical, defense. A lot of running. Old school football. Run, ground and pound. That's exactly what it has to come down to.
Well, let's see if they can do it. Let's see if they can adapt.
This is why we brought in Ajayi.
That's right. That's why we focused. We spent so much money on the defensive line. We brought in Ajayi. That's why we made those moves. Now it's time to see if they paid off.
Yes. And, the next 3 weeks, we'll see how well the Eagles fare without Carson Wentz.
You know what, Rich? Thank you.
What?
This conversation cheered me up.
Yeah, you feel a little bit better now?
I feel a little bit better. I honestly told you before the podcast, I'm like, I've been feeling so miserable.
Yeah.
Between the Eagles and other things this weekend, which we'll get to later in the podcast. I've just been so miserable and talking it out with a fellow Eagles fan.
Yeah, it's
has
very,
it lifted your spirits a little bit?
It's very emotional. It is.
It is.
Because, you know, star quarterback goes down. Everybody gets downgraded. No matter how good the surrounding talent is, it just happens. Everybody gets a downgrade. It's like Aaron Rodgers went down, bam, all the Packers just like. Yeah.
They're 7-6 now.
Right.
That's what happens when you lose your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what a franchise quarterback is worth.
Right.
And
the Browns are 0-13.
Yeah. That's what happens when you lose a franchise, when you lose 19 franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, over and over and over and over again.
I bet the Browns would prefer to have an injured Carson Wentz than whoever they have in there now.
Yeah,
Kaiser.
Deshaun Kaiser.
Kaiser
yeah.
Roll.
Kaiser Roll.
Kaiser Roll. You also have to put it in the context. We haven't had a good quarterback since 2010 when McNabb left.
Yeah.
And we've been waiting a long time. And to see somebody, and it was, I swear, it was like fate. The football gods are like, nope, you're not allowed. Carson Wentz broke the Eagles franchise record for most touchdowns in the season and was injured in the same game.
Yeah, ACL.
So it is emotional. It is tough to deal with this as an Eagles fan, especially fans like, I mean, you know, there's older fans who have had it much worse, but we grew up, the prime of our football tutelage was during the early 2000s, where we lost like three straight NFC championship games.
Yep, you learned what it was like to be a Philadelphia fan.
We learned we had our baptism by fire.
And now we get to pass it to the next generation.
Yeah, it's like, hey kids, welcome to the club.
Yep.
How's that taste of reality? Come over here and taste these tears.
It's funny we mentioned this because my nephew, just this year, he got like all into the Eagles and everything.
Your nephews, they're like what, 10, 11?
Yeah,
they're at that age where you start watching football.
Right. So the little guy, he's been watching every game. He knows every player. He
probably knows more than we do.
Yeah, and right, he's just like fanatical. And yeah, and just when Wentz went down, my sister just told me he was just devastated. And I'm just like, yep, this is it. Welcome to the life of being a Philadelphia fan.
I know, man. Welcome. I know. I remember literally shedding tears with some of those NFC championship game losses.
Yeah. This is our life.
Yeah. I've become numb to it. It's like it happened. I was like, well, there goes the season. Like, I was just like, okay, maybe next year.
Of course.
Maybe next year, right? There's always next year.
Well, hold on. Let's give Nick Foles a chance.
I think Nick has a good shot. He has a nickname which we can't say here on the podcast.
Right. Yeah. Big D.
D Nick.
Right. We can say that.
Yeah.
But to go back to the objective at hand, I say let's just focus on winning one out of those three games, getting the bye week, and then
that's
we
what
can
the Patriots
see,
do.
Right.
One game at a time.
Right.
Next man up.
Right. And then see how everything fares in the playoffs.
That's right.
So.
Playoffs are a new season.
That's right. Well, speaking of looking forward, it's time to get to our Fantastic Four picks for week number 15. What do you have for us, Mike, on the docket?
All right. First up, we got a battle for the AFC West. Both these teams vying for control of that hotly disputed division. The LA Chargers are traveling to Kansas City to face off against a Chiefs team that has really struggled the last 8 games.
They did, but they pulled off a big win last week.
They did. Can they do it again against a division rival who is getting really hot, really fast at the right time? Rich, what do you think?
I got to go with the Chargers on this one. The Chargers are turning it up at the right time. Keenan Allen is slowly becoming one of the league's best wide receivers. Him and Phillip Rivers recently, they just seem to be on the same page. They are lighting it up. They got Melvin Gordon. Gordon is one of those all-around backs. He can run. He can catch. I assuming the Chargers don't do one of their traditional special teams mess-ups, I don't see why not. I think the Chargers win this one and shock the division and finally knocking off the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chargers, and people know that I'm not a huge Chargers fan. I always said that they were overrated and lazy for a long time. But I have to say they've really impressed me here recently. They're one of those teams that sort of creep up on you. You don't realize it, but they have steadily become a very good team. I'm looking at just pure numbers. You know, everybody says the Chiefs have a good offense. The Chargers are actually better at them than them in some key categories. They say the Chiefs have a strong defense. The Chargers are better than them in every defensive category. So they've quietly and sneakily climbed their way back into contention here. And I really like the way they're playing. I think the Chargers are going to go into Kansas City and they're going to continue the collective beatdown on the Chiefs.
Yeah. This pretty much is it for the division.
Yeah. Whoever wins this is going to be in prime position to take that whole thing.
Ooh, Saturday night game too, by the way.
Oh, yes. I forgot to mention that is a Saturday night game. When did the NFL start doing that?
Yeah, they usually do it at the end of the season.
Okay. Well, that's a Saturday 8:30 game.
Yeah. And it's a big one.
Yeah, it is. Go watch it. It's going to be a good one, I think. Here's another good one, a push for the playoffs. Can the Green Bay Packers make a last-ditch playoff push against the Carolina Panthers? I think the report is that Aaron Rodgers is going to be back for this game. How's he going to fare coming back after missing all that time?
I think it's too much.
Too fast?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The problem is, it is Aaron Rodgers, and he is known for pulling off just ridiculous Hail Marys.
600
and,
passing yards.
Yeah, you know, things that you wouldn't expect out of him. But I think this is too much of a mountain to climb. He hasn't played since the beginning of the season. The Panthers right now are playing for the chance to upset the Saints in the division. They're going to be at home. I think all the factors point towards the Panthers, though. It's funny. If Aaron Rodgers actually starts the game, there will be a little bit of doubt in my mind that, uh-oh. You know, he's coming back to light it up.
Yeah, and you know what, though? People can't forget that Carolina actually has a very good defense. Sometimes their stats don't always show it, but third best in rush yards, seventh best in passing yards allowed, fifth best in total yards. They're a very stout defense. For Aaron Rodgers, can do pretty much anything he wants to. But like you said, I think it's too much too fast.
Yeah.
He's missed the entire season.
Yeah.
And a lot of that time has been sitting around. You know, obviously he's looking at plays, he's rehabbing, he's probably doing some light workouts. But he has very little actual football work this season. So he's going to come in. Is his body going to be ready to take the hits, take the pressure that the Panthers are going to bring? I don't know. Maybe, but maybe not. You got to go with the team with the really good record in this one, and that's the Carolina Panthers. Next up, we have a battle for the NFC West. The LA Rams are traveling to Seattle to face off against their heated division rival, the Seattle Seahawks. This is going to be a really good one. Both these teams, very good on both sides of the ball. Rich, what do you see happening in this one?
I see the Rams winning this one. The Rams have a chance to clinch the division.
One of their biggest rivals.
Right. To them, I would say this is a must-win game, especially coming off of the loss to the Eagles when they could have been contending for a bye week of their own. They're going to need this to be a win to secure the division. Also, I think bad mojo is coming for Seattle. If you followed their storyline last week, they played against the Jaguars. Michael Bennett was making fun of the Jaguars the whole week leading up, saying that, oh, when we play and we beat them by 50 points, and guess what? They lost to the Jaguars. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm feeling there's just bad mojo going with Seattle.
The Seahawks have always – I don't mind teams that have swagger. There's a difference between swagger and outright cockiness.
Yeah.
And I think they're starting to cross that line. And when teams get cocky, they sometimes get sloppy because they think we don't need to put in the work. I think the Rams, coming off that tough loss against the Eagles, they're going to come in. They're going to pop them right in the mouth.
I think so, too.
The last game, very close. 16-10. That's not a dominant performance by the Seahawks. I know they turned it on late in the year.
And that was when they were full force on defense.
They've lost a lot of players since then. They lost, I think it's Cliff Avril, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor. I know the Eagles didn't show up, but the Eagles have never been able to play the Seahawks. They're like one of those teams that always has our numbers.
Yeah.
The LA Rams, however, they play them twice a year. I think they know them a little bit better. I'm going with the Rams, too, here. I like the Rams this season.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, it's our own beloved Philadelphia Eagles. It's an NFC East division rivalry. We're traveling to the Meadowlands for our second game against New York. Last one was a close one, a nail-biter. We won in the last seconds. Rich, can we do it again?
I think so. The Giants, everything's just going wrong for the Giants right now. And, you know, they're cleaning house right now. They got rid of their general manager. They got rid of their head coach. Eli Manning is looking like an old quarterback just wasting away. So there's really nothing, I think, that would shock the Eagles in this game. The only thing is the Eagles need to change the game plan, stick to basics, ground and pound, nice conservative offense, and it should be an easy win.
Yeah, the thing that I look at when I see this game is usually when teams have disarray in the front office and in the locker room, usually doesn't translate to good play on the field.
No.
Couple that with the dead last defense in the league, even with Nick Foles at quarterback, I think we have a very good chance at putting up some decent numbers on this team.
This should be just Doug Peterson. Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. Run up the gut. Right. I formation, up the gut, two tight end sets, all game. You know, short passes, dink and dunk it, control the clock. I like the Eagles in this one.
Yeah.
Might be their last win of the season, but let's go out on a high note and beat a division rival.
Yep, and earn that bye week.
That's right.
And there you go, folks. That's our fantastic four picks for week number 15. Yeah, it's funny, though. Yeah, without Carson Wentz, there's a little bit of just like, ooh, gulp. But
yeah, well, I mean, you can't help it. You're missing your franchise quarterback, you know?
Yep. But I think you're right. I think we all, you know, had this discussion, and we all just got it off our chests. And now I'm looking forward to the future.
Yeah.
Remember, just one win. That's all the Eagles need to get that bye.
One win at a time. Next man up. Keep doing what you've been doing, guys.
Yeah, just get that one more win and secure that bye week so we just worry about the divisional round of the playoffs. But there you go. That's our parting message to the Eagles and the Eagles fans. hopefully smoother times are ahead for the Eagles fan base.
Hopefully.
But smoother times definitely will be ahead in the entertainment entree and the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we're moving right along through the show. You're feeling better right now after our little talk with the Eagles?
Definitely. It's definitely raised my spirits a little bit.
All right. Well, there you go. That's what we try and do here on the podcast, make you feel better about the news and everything like that. So, everyone in Philadelphia, feel better. Rise
yes.
up.
Cheer up, guys.
Cheer
Buck up.
Up,
friend. Friends.
Yes. Exactly.
I don't know why I said that so weird.
Big D Nick will help us.
Big D Nick.
That's what I'm going to call him here on the podcast.
That's right.
But moving on, it is now time for the segment where we have movie, TV, and other entertainment news. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing and all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment Andre.
In honor of the disaster artists coming out this past weekend, the guys over at Shimoyo decided to songify the room.
Nice.
Because why not?
It took me a while to pick up on it until I heard the, oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening? What is this?
Oh, this didn't get you?
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
I guess I missed that.
Yeah.
I guess the first time.
You know, in the song, it's flipped around the other way. Lisa tearing me apart as opposed to the other way.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
See there, Lisa's at the end, and the song Lisa's in the beginning.
Yes. Sentence structure.
Right, just throws you off
just
completely.
Threw me all off.
Yes.
No, that was great, though. Yeah. I mean, I really want to watch The Room. I've never seen it. I really want to watch it. Have you ever seen it?
Yes.
Oh, man. I was going to say we should watch it.
It's an interesting film.
It's an experience.
Is
it available free anywhere? Because I'm not paying.
I don't know
money
free.
For that.
But the thing I always wonder when I watch like The Room, didn't anybody just go, "What are we doing? like this does not make like there's like a plot line where one of the supporting characters owes money to like a bunch of like gang members.
Right.
Just dropped. Just no resolution to that. There's another beeline where like Lisa's mom might be diagnosed with cancer. Just dropped. Nobody.
they just throw that in for color.
Yeah. Like it's like, do we ever find out what happens there? No.
Nope.
Okay.
That was the sequel they were planning.
Right. The Room 2. The Porch.
The Porch.
That would have been the sequel.
Oh, man. The Porch.
Yes.
They're stepping out of the room onto the porch of life.
Moving outside in 2010. No.
What?
No, the movie came out in like 2000, so I don't know. 2003. Coming into 2003.
Oh, man.
Tommy Wiseau brings you The Porch.
In a follow-up to the critically acclaimed The Room.
Yes. Brilliant acting.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
Yes. So.
My favorite line, though, of the clips I know has got to be the "Oh, hi, Mark."
Oh, hi, Mark.
The way he said, "Oh, hi, Mark." Just the way he says it. It's like, who talks like that?
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah.
I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
It's just so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's so good.
Yeah. So. There you go. The Room is out, and The Disaster Artist, the movie based on the making of The Room, is out in theaters.
Actually, I just realized there's another step to that. There's The Room, then there's a book about the making of The
Room.
Right,
that's The Disaster Artist.
And The Disaster Artist is based on the book about the making of The Room. And get this, they're saying that Tommy Wiseau was going to write a book about The Disaster Artist, which is about a book, which is about The Room.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. They've essentially created a perpetual cycle of adaptations.
It's all a marketing scheme.
It is. Merchandising.
They found the perfect formula.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's never-ending adaptations.
There you go.
It's brilliant. I knew Wiseau was a genius.
Well, if they do continue down that path, they'll be featured in the next segment here. It's time for the part where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend in movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
All right, Mike, what do you have for us this
week?
Well,
hopefully these movies aren't tearing you apart. First up,
You're tearing me apart, Lisa!
A really big movie is coming out this week. It's just incredible. I'm talking, of course, about Ferdinand! John Cena stars as Ferdinand, a bull with a kind heart who is mistaken for a dangerous beast and sent away from his home. Now him and his misfit band of barnyard friends must go on an adventure to get Ferdinand back home. So that's coming out. It's a good, wholesome, family, fun movie. There's not much else coming to theaters this week. There's this
Wait, who stars in that movie?
John Cena, actually.
And his name is John Cena!
That is so loud. You just broke every speaker in the world.
Well, I mean, you should have told me that it starred John Cena.
It's in the
His name is John Cena!
It's in the rundown.
Oh, sorry.
I read it. Don't you read it?
No, I just go by the seat of my pants now, apparently.
Apparently. You know what? There's a small ragtag group of filmmakers flying by the seat of their pants, too. They're putting out...
And his name is John Cena!
Unfortunately, John Cena is not in this project.
Okay, good.
That's
good. I don't think we can take much more of the sound effect.
No, please, no. The speakers are already broken. I'm just waiting for it bracing. Okay. But there's another small indie film coming out called Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yes.
This is...
I can't wait.
...the real news. I'm so excited. I'm just at a loss for words. I am so... Every time they have a trailer... I don't watch it, I devour it, because every second of every trailer is just heart-pounding, spine-tingling, goosebumpling.
I like your adjectives here.
Thank you. Let me get to the actual copy I have written, though, so I don't have to wing it anymore. After two stellar outings in the new Star Wars era, it's no surprise that the latest film is already earning 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. And that's good for an 8.3 out of 10 average rating from 160 critics and 85% on Metacritic. This is just incredible. Fans are super excited for this for a good reason. There's also a ton of questions heading into the movie. Will Rey turn to the dark side? What does Luke mean when he says the Jedi must end? Who is Snoke? What new threats will arise? Rich, I got to hear it from the resident Star Wars expert himself. How excited are you for this movie?
I'm ready to go. I will be seeing this immediately when this comes out. It's almost surreal to think that I'm going to get to see Mark Hamill again as Luke Skywalker. That's the thing that really is just almost out of this world.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just getting chills thinking about it, so I can't even imagine. I mean, I know I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but if I'm a huge Star Wars fan, you are an immensely huge Star Wars fan.
Yes. I've rewatched the original trilogy over probably like 200 times. I don't even know. I don't know. I have no idea.
You lost count.
Yeah.
Lost count after you hit four digits.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, it's time. Yeah. It's almost like a whole childhood quest. Because when I watched Star Wars, I watched the original trilogy, and it was always just like, oh, there was supposed to be this sequel trilogy, but it just never panned out,
right?
And it will never get done. And now, all of a sudden, here we are. It's gonna this weekend. You will see Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker.
I know it. It is so amazing to think about that. You know, I remember watching it for the first time and my parents telling me, you know, well, it starts with number four because they were supposed to come out with 1, 2, and 3, and then they were going to come out with 7, 8, and 9. And, you know, for a while there, we didn't think it was going to happen. Then they came out with the prequels and we all know what happened there.
Yeah.
And that sort of left a sour taste in everybody's mouth. You'd always go back to the original trilogy, but, you know, they sort of, it's like, oh, why'd you have to make those prequels that sort of, you know, soured it a little bit for me, but then it came back bigger and better than ever with this new
Thanks to Disney.
Yeah, yeah. They're saving a lot of franchises, and we're going to be talking about them later, but right now they are doing stellar work with Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yes.
I'm really excited to see this movie. Unfortunately, I'm probably not going to be able to get to see it until around Christmas time, so I'm going to have to depend
on... for you.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Rich. So compassionate. So I'm going to have to...
Hey, you're the one that's not setting enough time up for Star Wars.
I know. It's just one of those things. But why'd they have to release around the holidays? It's tough.
Because you're supposed to bring your family to this.
Yeah.
This is family Star Wars time.
I'm going to try and convince my family, instead of Christmas Eve, we just go see Star Wars.
Yes.
And then come back and
that's
Christmas
reasonable.
Eve. Yeah. I think so, right?
My family would let you get away with it. I'll tell you, my family is... Star Wars through and through.
Oh yeah!
If you do not like Star Wars, you're not going
to
survive in my family.
Oh yeah, my family is too, but they don't really go to the movies all that much. So, but I'm so excited for this. Next week, I'm assuming you'll have a big review for us in the podcast.
Yeah, but I don't. I won't.
Not
wanna,
a spoiler review.
Yeah, I won't do a spoiler review or anything like that.
You'll say something.
Yes,
something will be said.
Yes. Excellent analysis from Michael Costanzo.
It's my hot take.
Yes.
Gotta have a hot take. So that is what's happening in movies, though. There's still a whole bunch of other stuff to get to this week in entertainment, of course, in television. If you're not seeing Star Wars, if you're staying in, maybe it's, I know, well, some people, you know, I don't know, they're crazy people.
Losers.
That is one term, yes. If you are a loser,
yeah,
you can... That's mean. But if you do happen to be in more of a TV mood than a film-going mood, you can check this one. A classic Christmas movie is getting an interesting... I never finished that sentence in the rundown. An interesting adaptation for television, A Christmas Story Live, airs on Fox Sunday. And it is starring Matthew Broderick, joined by Maya Rudolph and Jane Krakowski, for a 3-hour live television musical performance of the Tony Award-nominated stage musical. I gotta tell you, I'm actually kind of excited about this one. And,
yeah, you actually are looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to this one. I like musicals. I like A Christmas Story. The fact that the stage production was nominated for some Tonys means that it's it got to be some sort of quality. And I'm excited to see it live, to see, you know, how they handle it live and see this new spin on a classic tale. That's Sunday, December 17th at 7 Eastern time. It's 3 hours. It's a long production, 3 hours. But tune in if you're looking for some fun holiday-type content. Finally, in This Week in Entertainment, we have some video game news. No big releases, but PlayStation has been having a very successful year with PlayStation VR, and they want to keep it going. All PlayStation VR bundles right now are getting a $100 discount until Christmas Eve. The highlights of this deal are the Gran Turismo bundle that comes with the headset, the camera, and the full game for $200. That is just insane. This VR headset launched at $400. You can get the headset, the camera, and the game for $200.
They're trying to push this one.
They really are. Well, they've had 2 million sales in a year, so they're thinking this is going to be big, and they're hoping that a lot of people will also buy the Skyrim bundle. Comes with the headset, camera, 2 motion controllers, and Skyrim remastered for the current-gen consoles for $350. So if you've been on the fence of PlayStation VR, it's time to hop off and get yourself one. I got to tell you, Rich, I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, you're...
I'm like this close. They keep having deals online, like Kohl's and Dell have been having even cheaper deals, and every time I see it, I'm like, ooh, let me get the credit card out.
So I'm going to walk in one day, and you're going to be covered in
all
VR.
All VR'd out. That's right. All okay. VR'd out.
VR'd Mike.
That's right. I'm going to be lost in a virtual world of magic and mysticism. And that wraps it up for This Week in Entertainment.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
All right. Now let's move on to our next story here. And yeah, we did tease about Disney. This is why. A big news update from Disney and 21st Century Fox here.
Yeah. So I think we mentioned this last week. That Disney was in talks with 21st Century Fox to potentially buy their entertainment division. 21st Century Fox is the entertainment division of the larger Fox conglomerate. Of course, 21st Century Fox is responsible for the television, the movies, and all the TV shows, movies, all those IPs. It has recently come out that it seems as if 21st Century Fox and Disney are on a quote-unquote glide path for a Thursday deal. So if you're listening to this when the podcast comes out, hopefully the deal has already been made. I just timestamped the whole episode.
That's fine.
The deal is reportedly worth $60 billion, and Disney will be acquiring all of the movie and television assets. The entertainment world has been completely abuzz with this story because it completely changes the face of entertainment here in America. The biggest repercussions of this deal, of course, Disney now owns all those television channels, movie studios, and IPs from Fox's entertainment division. So, you know, Fox that airs the animation like The Simpsons, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, that's all Disney now. FXX, all Disney now. The movie studios, all Disney now. One of the biggest aspects of the movie branch particularly is all X-Men and Fantastic Four characters, of course, now under Marvel control once again. So you can see the ripple effect this has of Disney acquiring this big entertainment group. I mean, this is huge.
Oh, yeah. The thing that startles me is going to be... First off, this deal doesn't come as a surprise, especially with the announcement that Disney's going to launch its own streaming service.
Right. This is exactly what they needed.
Right. You really want to get people onto your service. This is how you're going to get people, because now you're going to combine Marvel with everything Fox has. Oh yeah.
Think about this for a second. This has actually got me really excited. You're talking Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Simpsons, all those animation shows, all those Fox movies.
FX shows,
X-Men, Fantastic Four movies, X-Men cartoons. I mean, I can't even fathom. This deal is just like an earthquake in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Comcast backed out of the deal because Disney was pitching such a high price.
Yeah.
Disney really wanted this. That makes me think their streaming service is going to be something big and something special. And I'm really looking forward to it. I've also read reports that they're aiming for under $10 a month. This has got all the makings.
They're gunning for Netflix.
They don't need the money.
They could give it away for free.
They are trying
to take down Netflix.
Yeah, and this is the way to do it. You know, when we first reported the streaming thing a few months ago, I said, if it's only Disney movies, I don't know.
Right.
But now I'm thinking, oh, man, this might be a must subscribe for me.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, if they got Star Wars, Sons of Anarchy, and Rescue Me, yeah. Oh, boy.
Classic Simpsons.
Classic
X-Men.
Simpsons.
I mean, the list just keeps going and going.
Yeah. This is starting to
Not
get
to mention Pixar, anyone? Pixar?
Yeah, that's right. but this seems to be a better deal the more I hear about it.
Yeah. There are, of course, some reservations that people have, notably the director of Logan, the hit Wolverine movie that came out recently. I think it was last year.
Right, this is going to be the key conflict. What happens with all the R-rated stuff?
Right.
Sons of Anarchy.
So the director of Logan, he's questioning, will they continue to do R-rated movies like Deadpool, like Logan? Because he says, he makes a really good point. When you make an R-rated movie, behind the scenes, the studio has to adjust to the reality that there will be no Happy Meals. There will be no action figures. The entire merchandising, cross-pollinating side of selling the movie to children is dead before you even start. So is that something Disney is willing to swallow? Probably not, to be honest. They love their merchandising and cross-promotion and toys, and they love all that stuff. That being said, Disney's also smart. They let people have creative control, right?
Yeah.
Look at Star Wars and Marvel. They're like, you do you, for the most part, right? Yeah. They don't meddle like Warner Brothers does in DC. They don't meddle in Pixar. They let Pixar do their own thing, for better or for worse. So I have hope that Disney will see the benefit to having some mature content. They have 95% kids content. I see no harm
I was just raving about the Punisher.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't tell me you're going to stop doing Punisher just because Disney took over.
That's a great point. Marvel does Punisher. Marvel owned by Disney.
Yeah.
So they're sort of already kind of doing it, right?
Right.
In a roundabout sort of way. Right. It's a Netflix original.
It's not Disney doing it directly.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good question. What happens to the Netflix original Marvel shows? Are they under Disney, technically?
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess they're going to have to get switched over to whenever the Disney streaming...
I mean, Jessica Jones just got picked up for a second season.
I think it's going to have to get switched over because Disney owns Marvel.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a really good question that I hadn't... it hadn't dawned on me until right this second. There's a little bit of evidence that they're willing to do that already. Yeah, so I actually just looked it up. The production company is Marvel Television and ABC Studios. ABC Studios, of course, is a brand of Disney.
Yep.
So they're already doing the R-rated, mature-rated content, just not under their official Disney brand. I don't see why that would change.
Right.
Just label it as like, oh, this is an FX project or this is a whatever project. You know, they don't have to attach their name. They don't have to say, this is Disney's The Punisher and have a Punisher ride in the Magic Ooh, Kingdom. Boy. You know, it's a Mickey Mouse and Punisher Ooh. Crossover. We're going to kick some criminal ass.
What's going on, Frank?
Mickey Mouse just pulls out a shotgun.
Step aside, Mouse.
Yeah. I mean, I'd watch it. but I feel like...
Two batch.
Just... yeah, you know what? I
can't do the Punisher voice any longer than three sentences.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but it seems like a very gritty, dark voice.
He's got a very deep voice.
Yeah.
It's not good for my voice. I do the Mickey voice.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to have to do the Punisher voice.
Well, we'll leave that to the professional actors.
Yeah. Where's John Berthel when I need him?
Yeah, we're just the talking heads
that
don't really know much. but one thing I do know is I'm liking the sound of this deal. I actually think it's good for fans of Disney and Marvel and Fox properties. We just talked about how Disney has been stewarding the Star Wars universe to great success, the Marvel Universe to great success, Pixar, they've had a long legacy with that one. I don't see any reason why that would stop.
Yeah.
You know, they have – there's a reason why they own all the media in America, because they know what they're doing. Let them do what they do best. I sound like I'm a corporate shill right now, you know?
Yeah, you sell
all,
out.
All hail capitalism and all that stuff. But I like Disney. I like what they've always done. And I'm feeling positive about this. So
all right.
That's the big Disney news. Disney acquiring 21st Century Fox, the entertainment division of Fox. That's not the only entertainment news we have.
Nope.
There's some big television news that we have to get to. We teased it earlier. We're talking, of course, about The Walking Dead mid-season finale.
And for this, I think we got to get into spoiler territory. There's no way around
this.
There's
absolutely no way to talk about this without spoilers. So
let's launch it. It's spoiler territory for Walking Dead.
It's a spoiler! It's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
All right, there you go. You've been warned. If you have not seen the mid-season finale, you might want to fast forward on the podcast.
Yeah. So this is another reason. I'm just going to start off. You know, we had talked about earlier in the show how we were sort of despondent over the weekend.
First Carson Wentz.
And I got to admit, this is the other reason I was despondent. The mid-season finale, 95% of it was great, but there was one part that I was not a huge fan of. Let's not jump ahead, though. Rich, what did you think of the episode as a whole?
I loved the fact that everything is starting to go to crap for Rick.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed like the first couple of episodes, everything was going way too hunky-dory with their attack plan. And they had the saviors on the ropes and everything. It was like, come on. No, it can't be over this fast.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, conflict that focuses on starving out an enemy is not thrilling television.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that there was a bit more action. I feel like I'm being a little two-faced here. You know, earlier I'm complaining too much action this half season. Now I'm saying, you know, now I like the action. There's a difference between the action earlier in the season and the action in the mid-season finale. The action earlier in the season was just a tennis match of gunfire.
Yeah, it was
which is not action. We're like watching.
It's not Walking Dead either.
No, we're like watching people at a shooting range. It's not. That's almost as boring as watching people starve to death. The action I'm talking about in the mid-season finale. I mean, you have serious stakes here. You have Negan hitting back. You have people's plans going to crap. You know, it's drama action. There's drama in the action. There's stakes attached to it. It's not just pulpy action, gunfire, and explosions. There were explosions and gunfire, but there...
I like explosions.
There was gravity to it. There was gravity to it.
Yes.
Should
we get to the part?
Yeah, let's get to the part. I can't even deal with this right now.
Why?
I'm so pissed off.
It is revealed at the end of the mid-season finale that Carl has been bitten by a walker.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yes, this is a fact.
So, first, straight off the bat, out of all the deaths, this is the one that I hate the most. Carl, for me, was a great character. It was super interesting watching him grow up. He's one of the few characters that actually changed throughout the series, right? He started as a dumb...
Literally.
Well, literally, but also in terms of character progression, when you look at it, when you look at characters like Rick, like Michonne, like Daryl, they are either static, Carol and Morgan as well, they're either static or they flip-flop every episode, and that's not character progression, that's just being bipolar. Carl, though, had a clear sense of progression, of development, of growth. He starts out as a kid who's irrational, who is headstrong, who does things where you're like, oh, you're so frustrating, why would you do that? But he's like a 12-year-old kid. It makes sense. And through the series, you've seen him grow up in this apocalypse, and you see him adapt and change to that. You see him have to grapple with the challenges of his world while trying to cope with, like, well, you know, I'm young enough that I'm growing up in this, but I'm also old enough to remember how it was. So he goes through the period where he's like super aggressive, then he starts to reel back, and he's really grappling with that issue more so than I think the other characters have grappled with it, or more effectively than they've grappled with it. It was enjoyable seeing him step up to become a leader. It was enjoyable seeing him play a bigger role. It was really exciting to see him interact with other characters and to see the characters respect him for the role he's taken on and to show him work with them to understand the gravity of the situation they're in. And then The Walking Dead was like, oh, you know what? We don't like character moments. Let's piss it all away and kill off one of the most interesting characters. I'm furious, Rich. I'm actually pissed off at this.
Okay. So there's a couple.
I'm actually pissed off at this occurrence.
Yes, this is very stunning and shocking news.
Yeah,
considering that this never happens in the comics.
No, and that's the second point of why this is so frustrating. Because I very rarely read comic spoilers because I want to stay true to the show that I started watching the show. I've never read the comics, but I was reading a little bit about the stuff that Carl does. He becomes a leader, like he is being groomed to take over for Rick. He goes off. He leads his own groups. He makes contact with a group, a really cool sounding group called the Whisperers. It's just all gone now. It's just all gone. And there's no reason.
It's either that or somebody else is going to fulfill his storyline.
People are saying Daryl. But you know what? I'm really sick of Daryl right now. Because that guy is the most boneheaded character I have ever met. It's like, oh, look, we're clearly winning against this group. I'm going to drive a trash truck into their compound.
Yeah.
I could not stand that plan. You know me, I was pissed off when Sasha and that other one went and they're like, we're going to assassinate Negan, but we're going to absolutely suck at it. Daryl's like, hey, I got an idea. And he takes the one person who tried and failed. He's like, let's go punch a hole in their stupid compound. And she's like, yeah, sure. I didn't just have a failed attempt. Let's try it again. It makes no sense.
Yes, Mike.
I gotta rein it in.
Mike is very upset.
It was so frustrating watching that. I'm sitting there going like, don't, why? Why are you so stupid? Why are you so stupid? Every single character in that sequence was absolutely brain dead.
Yes. It's like Rick has set out a plan. Just follow it.
Oh, no. Rick is the dumbest one of all. Because
he goes out on his own.
The
yeah.
main staple of his plan is we're going to set up snipers. We're going to surround the group. And instead of bringing the hammer down on them and finishing them off, I'm going to go back to the trash people.
Yeah, and I'm going to...
Why?
And I'm going to go sign up with the trash people.
You spent, like, 3 episodes locked in a dumpster. And then you get their support. And then you get back. You're like, surprise, you've been gone for, like, 3 weeks. No kidding, everybody's going to die and go off on their own. Because as the leader, you're just like, oh, I'm just going to waltz off into enemy territory and do my own thing. It's part of the plan. Then he comes back. He's like, oh, my God, everybody's dead. I had no idea that would happen if I just abandoned them for a week. And he's like, come on, trash people, you just betrayed me once, but help me fight. And they just run.
Yeah.
You just pissed away 3 episodes of being locked in a trash can for 30 seconds of the trash people running away. Just from a narrative pacing perspective, it is absolutely infuriating.
Yes.
I'm so mad with this series right now. Mostly because I love this series. And I hate it when they jerk around viewers like this.
Yes.
You talk for a little bit.
Okay.
Because so, I feel like I'm ready to have a heart attack.
Yeah, please don't have
Rich.
A heart attack.
Go, you we, say something.
We have to have the Crispy Noodle Podcast here. Don't have a heart attack. So my big thing is I don't understand why they kill... Essentially, they're killing off Carl. Carl hasn't died yet officially, but the reveal that he's been bitten...
By the way...
Is huge.
Worst way to do a character death. Because we got to wait 2 months for him to actually die.
Yeah.
That is stupid.
Right, we got...
That sucks all the... All right, I said I was going to let you talk. I'm sorry. You talk.
It's fine. No, you're right. It sucks out all the drama behind it.
It does.
Because we have to... It's almost like you forget for a little bit that he's about to die. Then you have to, like, relearn. Oh, yeah, that's right. When we come back in the spring, spring part of season 8, yeah, he's going to die. So that part just threw everyone for a loop. The only reason I can suspect that they're killing off Carl is because I think they're going to end the show. I that's the only reason. Because
honestly, I hope you're right, because this doesn't make any sense to me otherwise.
Because Carl is supposed to represent the future of what Rick is trying to fight for.
Yes, absolutely.
If Carl is dead, then why is... I mean, sure, Rick has Judith, the other kid.
He's never there for Judith.
Right, because it's not his. It's Shane's. Oh, did everybody forget about that? Ooh.
Probably.
Yeah,
that's,
Shane.
That's back when The Walking Dead was good, when they cared about their characters.
And John Berthel was on the show.
Yes.
Now he's the Punisher.
Plot twist. Comes back as the Punisher, wipes out all the saviors, cures Carl, and they ride off into the sunset screaming, Judith is mine!
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. You were saying?
But to me, it
has to end.
Right. The only logistical reason that you kill off Carl, especially like this, where it's definite, there's no hope. Because a walker bite, nobody is immune. Nobody is... unless you cut off a limb, but he didn't get bit in the limb. He got bit in the stomach.
So there is... I'm glad you brought that up. There is one crazy rumor online.
No.
There were a little cagey about whether or not he was going to die. Now, hold on. There was a very good explanation. So somebody on the Walking Dead subreddit was talking about how they all have the virus already. So it's not like the bite is transmitting the virus. The thinking is that, because we know anybody who dies turns. Doesn't matter if they're bit or not. Anybody who dies turns. So they're positing that it's not the bite, but the ensuing infection, the bacterial infection of this decaying thing that infects them so badly and that their body can't fight it. And that's why they eventually die. They're dying because of illness, which is plausible, right? Because it's why would the bite just outright kill them? We know that the bite doesn't contain the virus. Everybody already has the virus. That's why it's called The Walking Dead. So they're dying from the infection, or there doesn't matter how they die. They die, right? So people are saying if he can fight off the infection, then technically there's no reason the bite should kill him.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No. The answer is no.
That's the perfect response.
No, the answer is no. He's going to die.
So, okay, here's the other part of the theory.
Oh, my God, no.
Why did they focus so much time on getting the priest and the doctor out of the sanctuary, because Maggie's only like 4 months pregnant. There ain't no way she's delivering that baby anytime soon. But they were dead set on setting up a situation in which the priest who is sick because he inhaled or ingested zombie guts or whatever, and the doctor, they say there's a reason why the show narratively was so dead set on getting them out of the sanctuary back to the protagonist group. And they're thinking that because maybe if the priest can beat the illness, then maybe the doctor will realize we can beat this illness because it is just an infection that he would be succumbing to. And so maybe he pumps him up on antibiotics, pumps him up on painkillers, anti-inflammatories. And because I also showed a shot where he has all the drugs and stuff. So people are saying like, oh, they're building up to it. I don't know. If they do that, I might stop watching the show.
The answer is no.
If they do that, if they say, oh, we quote-unquote killed Carl, only to pull another Glenn under the dumpster, I might actually stop watching this show.
Yeah. No, the answer is no. The
You either don't kill him or you kill him. None of this half-ass bull crap.
No, he's going to die. They would be dumb. They would be so dumb if they pulled that.
I would have no respect for them
right.
whatsoever.
Right. So, no, the answer is... No, none of that is going to happen. No, Carl's going to die, and there's also another reasoning behind that, and it's the actor that plays him,
Chandler Riggs
is taking a gap year, and then he's going to go to college,
right?
And he had concerns about how he's going to balance Walking Dead and college life.
Yeah.
So that was also an issue behind the scenes as well.
Well, to update on that behind the scenes stuff, I've been following this because it infuriated me enough to do a lot of research into it. And you're absolutely right about him taking a gap year and being concerned about juggling the show in college. However, he also bought a house near where he – this is a 17, 18-year-old kid – bought a house near where they film. And was taking that gap year because he had been told that he's going to get at least 3 more years of work. They told him in June that he was getting killed off.
Mm.
So now people online, they are turning viciously against the showrunners because a kid buys a house near where you are shooting, planning to go to college near where you're shooting, because he anticipates to be shooting. And then you fire him, not fire, but you tell him you're being written off in June of this year. Hmm. That's kind of crazy, don't you think?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe there's like behind the scenes drama or whatever, but the actor himself seems pretty cool and chill and laid back and you know, more mature than most grown actors. But the whole situation, just behind the scenes, in the show, in terms of future repercussions, just annoys me. And it saddens me and it infuriates me. Because the other thing that gets me, did anybody pick up on the fact that he's been bitten for like 2 days?
Because he got bit rescuing that guy.
Right. The guy
or whatever.
Who has so far no relevance to the story. And also he got bit trying to help him just randomly kill zombies in the woods. Like, they weren't trying to accomplish anything. They weren't saving somebody. They weren't fighting the saviors. They weren't, you know, clearing out an area of infected. They were just killing zombies just because it releases their souls or whatever mumbo-jumbo the new character came up with. Like, that's what annoys me the most is that he dies in a stupid way. He's established to be a competent zombie killer. Person who's working his way up to leadership potential. And he dies helping a random dude kill three zombies in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
It doesn't...
Not like a, you know,
it doesn't make
death.
Any sense. It's not meaningful at all. It doesn't make any sense. Narratively, what does it accomplish for Rick? Like, what... Like he was the character that was supposed to flip Rick and convince him that there is a future after this. That you're not supposed to just kill everyone. Is that character going to be Sadiq now? Is that character going to be the priest now?
Is it Judith?
Is it Judith? Judith's the baby. She's like, don't kill everyone, Dad! Like, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Is the death supposed to make Rick go, you know what? We can't kill Negan and the Savers. We got to work towards peace. BS! That's not, his kid just dies and he's going to say, no, we need to work towards peace in the future. His future's gone.
Right.
There's no reason for him to continue.
There's no reason for him to wake up in the morning.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
He was living and fighting for Carl.
Yes.
And it's just been taken... Just the whole thing, narratively, everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mike, don't destroy the microphone.
I think this is probably the angriest I've ever been on the show.
Well, yeah.
I've devoted 7.5 years to this show, and I feel like they're just jerking fans around.
I would agree with that statement.
So, brings me to my final question. The future of The Walking Dead. What's going on?
It's going to end soon.
How soon?
One or two seasons.
Ratings are rapidly declining.
I'd say one or two seasons. It's over. The end game is in sight. They got to wrap it up.
How do they wrap this up?
Kill Rick. I don't know. They'll find a way.
Kill Rick. It's crazy. This is such a wild ride that everybody's been on. And
they'll find a way. But the point is, the end is now sooner than later.
Yeah. I think this move expedited the wrapping up of the series.
Correct.
And I think it's also convinced me to just go read the comics.
There you go. So if you do want a future where Carl's alive, there you go. Read the comics, and there you will have your righteous story. All right, Mike, you need to take a break.
I got to tell you, Rich, I'm feeling really stressed after that segment. I hope we've got something nice and peaceful and laid back and relaxing coming up on the show.
Well, we got something more lighthearted. The non-fortune cookie odd news will be coming up. And, you know, it's something that we didn't really mention, but this week is the last, like, normal episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I like how you put that in air quotes that nobody can see.
So you know what I mean.
Right.
So this is essentially the last new odd news coming your way of 2017. So you're going to want to hear what I got for you, as well as a recurring segment.
Really?
Yeah.
So you piqued my interest.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
We'll
We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Mike, have you recovered?
I think I have.
Yeah, you had some pistachios. You feeling better?
Yes, I had a handful of pistachios, took a drink of water. We laughed a little bit in the break. Yeah. And
I liked how that was your first thing you went to. Like, you took your headphones off. You're like, I got to get some pistachios.
I know. And you don't think of pistachios as a comfort food.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was like, I just need something. And so I went for the pistachios, yeah. Oh, it's better than going for a cookie.
There you go.
I can, you know, that's something.
Well, but, you can't go wrong with good pistachios.
No.
Yeah. Well, you know what else you can't go wrong with either?
What's that, Rich?
The next portion of our show where we give you the latest odd news. Mike, what is it?
It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. Never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Wait, hold on. Before we get anything started, in the clip of the odd news, there's the, you need a pound of nuts?
Yeah, I'll have a pound of nuts.
Well, guess what? $4. Yeah, we got a pound of nuts. Yeah. We got pistachios right here.
That's right. Yeah. There you go. That's evidence of pistachios.
Hey, the bag is twisting, and I'm taking some.
There you go.
Whether you like it or not.
You can have all the pistachios you want.
Thank you,
but
friend.
But there will be $4.
Thank you, friend. Here, I'm going to enjoy it while you explain the odd news.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea. As Rich is eating those pistachios, I'll tell you that in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. We act like a bunch of crazy nuts because I've never seen these stories before. Rich ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. Even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down weird and wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. I'm looking forward to this. I need some levity injected into this week because between the Eagles and the Walking Dead, man, it's not been going well.
All right. Well, hold on to your pants because here we go. We're doing...
hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts. Here
Jurassic
we go.
Jurassic Park.
First story is a local story, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Good old PA. Where at in PA? Somewhere close by?
Outside of Pittsburgh.
Oh, so far away.
But still Pennsylvania.
Still PA, yeah.
Still Pennsylvania.
It's the other side of the mountains.
Right. A Pennsylvania landlord snuck into his tenant's apartment and touched himself on the victim's dirty clothing, which was recorded by a motion-activated security camera inside of the residence.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, this is just so creepy.
This is the case of the worst landlord ever.
Yeah, really. You're late on your rent. Also, I left you a surprise in your socks. Is it the rent? Nope.
67-year-old Thomas Fallon. Oh. Yeah, an older guy, too.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
67-year-old Thomas Fallon has been charged with burglary and criminal trespass. This took place at a resident in Castle Shannon, which is a Pittsburgh suburb.
What?
Castle Shannon? Castle
what
Shannon.
What crazy names are these?
Those crazy Pittsburghites.
They're insane. They're just crazy. They don't know what they're doing.
Castle Shannon, apparently, is the name of a suburb. Fallon, who is also the president of an electrical contracting firm, was immediately arrested. The victim told police that she recently purchased a Wi-Fi-enabled security system and placed cameras in her bedroom. She thought that someone had been going through her personal effects, specifically her clothing. The woman then contacted police after she received an alert on her phone reporting that the security system had detected motion in her bedroom. The system captured a series of images showing Fallon undressing himself.
Oh, man.
And rubbing his private parts on her dirty clothing.
Oh. Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I would be so upset. If that were me, I would be so mad. That is so gross.
He went full blown. Like, I'm going to take off my clothes.
Yeah.
Get myself all nice and comfy. And then I'm going to go to town on your clothes.
Yeah. Oh, man. I guess the only upside is that at least they're dirty and they have to be washed anyway. But it's still really creepy.
Aren't you very optimistic all of a sudden?
Yeah, I know,
right? You really changed your tune
Always
over there.
Always look on the bright side of life.
My dirty clothes must go to the laundromat tonight.
It doesn't matter if my creepy landlord jerked himself all over my dirty laundry. When you have a security system, you can see it all. Something, something, something nasty, man.
I have to go get my laundry done tonight.
And burn down the apartment.
The photo showed that Fallon had his penis exposed and was masturbating into the victim's soiled clothing, which she wore the previous day. She identified the man as her landlord in the photos. When Fallon was interviewed by police, he acknowledged that he did enter the woman's apartment that morning, but said that, quote, I was there to fix a hot water heater.
That's a really interesting way of fixing a hot water heater.
I have to do it naked. Yeah,
just let me take my penis out. Now that that's done.
Yes. Now I can move on to the job at hand.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yes, I can only fix things around the apartment naked.
Yeah, of course.
And rubbing against your clothes.
That's right. Well, that's a key step in the process.
Yes.
Haven't you ever built like IKEA furniture? It's like step 3, take out your private parts. Step 4.
Oh, I just do it step 1. I just get it out of the way.
you just start right away.
Right.
You don't even take out the Allen wrench or the parts. You just right away, yep. Clothes come off.
Right. First you take out the stuff in the box.
Yeah, like, all right, let's go shooting fruit and couch or whatever.
Yeah, whatever, you know. Yeah, and then you have your Swedish meatballs off to the side.
Yeah. Oh, they're off to the side?
Yeah. The real ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Furniture.
You got to get your Allen wrench and your Swedish meatballs.
Yes. Furniture, food,
yes.
Nakedness.
Yeah.
It's the holy trifecta.
That, yes, sure.
Putting furniture together.
Of IKEA.
Yeah.
Poor IKEA.
We don't get paid by IKEA. No. So, too bad.
We only get paid by Netflix, apparently. Yeah.
So
yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, Fallon's got.
How do you deny that though? Like you're looking at the pictures of you, like you know, with her laundry. He's like, oh, I was looking for a missing screw.
I was like, yeah, naked.
Yeah, naked. Like, what's your excuse? Like, there's no excuse. Just give up.
Yeah. So he's going to be charged with 2 felonies: burglary and criminal trespass. So.
Shouldn't there be, like, an indecency charge or something? I guess don't know.
They're not picky in Pittsburgh. They figure that's going to be enough to put them away.
Like I said, it's on the other side of the mountains.
Yeah, that's picky. That's good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough.
West of the Appalachian Mountains, it gets a little iffy until you get to the West Coast. I apologize to everybody who lives west of the Appalachian Mountains, but, I mean, let's be real.
Okay. let's move on to our next story here, going to Massachusetts in this next one.
Okay.
Another kind of older gentleman involved in this one. This involves a 90-year-old Massachusetts man.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
impressive.
The elderly men are making some waves here in the odd news.
Yeah, well, you know, they're like, hey, pay attention to us, too.
Yep.
They're like, I'm old.
Well,
take a look at this.
It's not too far off from this story.
Oh, really?
A 90-year-old Massachusetts man was arrested for soliciting a prostitute after he called police to report that the woman stole a piece of jewelry after he paid her $100 to perform the sex act.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I mean, she just got paid $100. She shouldn't really be stealing the jewelry, too.
Yeah, come on, man.
Come on, don't get greedy.
When cops told Nick Salerno that he was going to face a criminal charge because he admitted that he hired a hooker, he said, and this is in the police report, quote, "Yo, I don't give an F. I'm 90 years old, for Christ's sake."
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
I feel like if you're over a certain age, as long as you're not outright murdering or, like, bodily harming people, you should be able to get away with stuff like that.
Yeah, come
like,
on.
All he did was pay a woman to have sex with him. I don't even think I don't even think they actually had sex.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah, let's get to the story.
Right, he's being arrested for soliciting, not actually going through with it, right?
So here's the rest of the police report.
Okay.
Salerno dialed cops to report that he had paid 48-year-old Karen Poria for a sexual encounter. Salerno said that he got her first name and number from a friend who reported that she was good at oral. That's a quality friend. Hey, Mike, by the way, I know this girl if you need some help. Just FYI.
Do you? What's the number?
Yeah, I got right here. Let me pull up my phone. I got it right here for you. Anyway.
You got to look out for your buddies, man.
Right, I'm looking out for you. By the way, anytime you want to, Mike, just ask me.
Of course. That's after the show.
Right. Okay, got it.
We don't want to get arrested for...
Yeah. Salerno added that that his pal assured him that the woman was perfect. Salerno said that he paid $100 for oral sex. Upon her departure from his home, Salerno said that he discovered that his famous gold chain...
Why is it famous?
Yeah, why is it famous?
His famous gold chain.
Yeah.
Man, this chain has been everywhere.
This has been here since the 70s. Gotta love police reports.
Yeah.
His famous gold chain was missing from atop his bedroom dresser. So I guess he did actually get the act in, so that's good.
That's good.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I like how we both immediately just said, oh, that's good. At least he got some.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't matter. Had sex.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's that logic.
Well, that's what he just said, right? He's like, I don't give an F.
Right. I don't give an F. I'm 90 years old.
That's exactly. He's the real life version of that internet saying. Doesn't matter. Had sex.
Salerno said that he waited a week to report the theft because he wanted to give Karen a chance to bring the necklace back and do the right thing.
Okay. So, all right.
When asked
flawed logic there. I don't think many prostitutes are going to do the right things because they are prostitutes.
When asked if he knew the woman's last name, Salerno told police, all I know is her first name and her phone number and that she lives across from the Christmas tree shop. Okay.
All right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Get your trees and a little side action, too. I guess that's a good night.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Salerno's famous gold chain, police noted, was later recovered from a local pawn shop.
Oh, okay.
So she traded that.
Yeah.
She traded that in. Yo, this is Salerno's famous gold chain.
It's famous, yeah.
It's famous.
I'll give you $5.
Best I can do is $2.50.
$2.50.
she pawned the item. Poria has been charged with prostitution and larceny. Salerno has also been charged with prostitution. So,
that sucks.
Yeah, come on.
Are they really going to lock up a 90-year-old dude?
Yeah, come on, man. Let that go. He was just looking for some fun. He's 90.
I know, exactly.
One last thrill. Come on, let him have it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. After a certain age, you should, you know, if they're murdering people, if they're hurting people, that's one thing. If it's something like, you know, I don't think it's that big a deal paying somebody. He's 90 years old. Just let him have his fun.
Yeah, come on.
You know?
Lame.
That's annoying. Also, I just want to point out one more thing about that story. A line that sort of passed by that I thought was funny. You mentioned he had talked to his buddy about this.
Yes.
I just had this image in my head of like two 90-year-old guys in like wheelchairs and walkers like, hey, yeah, she gets really good head, you know? Like, he said buddy, and I'm thinking like, is it another 90-year-old dude? Like, is there like a whole like clique of 90-year-old dudes that have like the inside track on prostitutes in Boston?
Maybe. Remember we had that one story earlier this year where it was something like there was a retirement home in Florida that was
rampant STDs.
Yeah. Like, yeah, man, old people got to get it on, too.
They probably are, like, the most knowledgeable when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
Because they've been around the longest, and they're old, and they don't give an F, and, you know?
Yeah, follow them for good times.
Yeah. Follow them for good times.
Yeah.
Like, why won't these kids leave me alone? We're studying your ways, wise master. They're getting hookers.
Yeah.
Show me your way.
You're the Obi-Wan Kenobi of getting hookers. I need to know.
Use the Force, but not too much because you'll throw out your hip.
Let her do the work.
Let her do the work. I'm 90. I put in my time. I worked hard all my life. It's time for her to work hard. Because they're 90, they're like slightly like sexist. So they're like, oh, you know, we gave them the right to vote. They should be able to.
I'm paying you. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
You got to love the elderly.
Yeah. Hang out with them. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to go to the nursing home and hang out with the old people. Mister, do you know where the good hookers are?
All right. Let's get to our Florida odd news stories.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, we're keeping the sexual encounter themes going here, because a Florida motorist told police that he was in a car chase and such a rush to meet his girlfriend for an encounter that he did not know that he was in a cop chase. Yeah, this is... after spotting a Honda Accord barreling through a Clearwater residential neighborhood on Saturday night, a patrolman in an unmarked car activated the cop lights. Is that what they call it? That doesn't sound right.
I'm sorry. That was the dumbest way,
right?
The cop lights.
The cop lights.
Oh, man, there's a criminal. Turn on your cop lights.
Right? Yeah.
I got my cop badge, my cop lights.
Got
what are you, 7
lights.
Years old?
I got my cop lights. I got my cop car. I got my cop lights.
Like, what are you, 7?
Yeah.
Like cop lights.
There should be a police.
Siren?
Siren. Yeah,
they
cop
just,
light.
Or just turned on their lights. They're cop lights.
Cop lights, yeah.
That just struck. That was just so funny. The cop lights.
Right. Yeah, there should be a better way of phrasing that.
Could you imagine that, like, in Law and Order SVU? They're just like, there's the perp. Hit your cop lights.
Hit the cop lights, goddammit.
Like a gritty crime drama. You know, they're getting ready to, like, do a big bust, a sting, like, hit the cop lights. It sounds like a child saying it.
Yeah. Obviously, wherever this Florida story came from, a 16-year-old wrote
God,
it or
you
something.
Know, Florida, geez, God, you're getting me mad again. Florida, the criminals are stupid.
The
cops
reporters
are cops are sometimes stupid. The reporters are stupid. Everybody in Florida, this is from beginning to end, the whole process. The cop lights. There's probably a button in the car that says cop lights. Turn on the cop lights. I forgot what button it is, I labeled it cop lights.
Wait, there's headlights.
Yes.
And then there's interior lights. And then there's cop lights.
That's true. There's a lot of lights. Headlights, taillights, brake lights.
Yeah.
Interior
lights.
How do
I get the brake lights on? Anyway.
Cop lights. Okay.
So the patrolman in the unmarked car activated the cop lights in an attempt to pull over the speeding car. Instead, the vehicle accelerated and fled the attempted stop.
Oh my God. Even with the cop lights on?
Yeah, I know. Surprising, right?
Oh.
With the aid of additional police cars in the area, they tracked down the Honda and arrested 18-year-old Reuben Hughes. After being read his rights, Hughes said that, quote, I did not see or hear the cop car's emergency equipment.
So wait, first is cop lights, now it's emergency equipment.
Why can't they just say sirens?
I thought we all agreed as a society.
They're called sirens.
That emergency and law enforcement vehicles have sirens.
Yeah.
And lights.
We went for
not cop lights and emergency equipment.
Yes. Hughes then.
Wait, what is that? Emergency equipment could be like a life vest.
Yeah.
It could be a flare. It could be anything. This story is just absolutely insane.
Hughes then explained that, quote, I was trying to meet my girlfriend for, quote, important relations.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
This whole story is just euphemisms for things.
Important relations.
Important relations.
If you know what I mean.
We're going to discuss our taxes.
They're very important.
Very important.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Important relations.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And Hughes said that I was just trying to get to her apartment. The botched booty call would result in Hughes' arrest for fleeing and eluding a police officer.
With his cop lights on.
With the cop lights on, yep, not good. And also, cops made Hughes spend an additional 16 hours in custody. That's just okay. Being mean.
Yeah. Is there a reason why? There's just like, and he spent 16 hours there. Period. Full stop.
Yeah.
No explanation.
Just the cops made him do it. I guess they wanted to prevent him from getting laid.
I guess so.
The ultimate C block.
Yeah. Jerks.
Yeah.
With their stupid cop lights.
Yeah, come on, man. You got him for charges. You might as well let him go and get some while he can. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
All right, I got one more Florida story here for you.
Okay.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And, yeah, this one, get ready, put on your imagining caps on. This is okay. Great. Florida cops had to respond to a trespassing call where they were confronted by a male suspect who swung a large dildo at all the officers before being taken into custody.
I guess you could say you had yourself a man-witch.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Following a call from a homeowner about a man who was sleeping on his land, this is what started it all. Okay. Random person just sleeping on your land.
Sure. Just passed out.
Yeah. Sheriff's deputies encountered...
Was he sleeping with the dildo?
I guess so.
Like, did he bring it with him?
Yeah.
He's like, going out for a night on the town. Better bring my 3-foot dildo.
Yeah, just in case.
I guess you could say you had yourself a man-witch.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, so guy sleeping with a dildo like a child would sleep with a stuffed animal.
Yep. On somebody's land.
On somebody's land. Not their lawn, their land.
Sheriff's deputies encountered another... older story. 71-year-old Donald Hornback. Yeah,
what?
You look perplexed.
Okay, 71-year-old Donald. Oh, an old person.
Yes.
Oh, when you said old story, I'm like, I don't remember Donald Hornback. Yeah. Like, old story.
This is the tale of Donald Hornback. No. I was talking about...
You meant, like, literally, like, a story about old people.
Right. Okay. All these...
So, wait, the guy is 71 years old and he's sleeping with a dildo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, these old people, they really know how to have fun.
Yeah, man.
I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something right.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Upon being awoken, Hornback declared that cops, quote, had no right to remove me from the property.
Well, you're trespassing.
Yeah, you're trespassing.
Okay.
Aha!
But I have a dildo.
Are you?
Is that like a hall pass?
Well, at this point, they didn't see the dildo.
When does the dildo come into play?
So when,
and also, how big was it?
So when cops forced him to gather up his belongings and leave, that's when the 71-year-old man picked up his large dildo and began swinging it at all the officers that were trying to arrest him on the scene.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up.
How big was this thing that he was swinging it at him?
It must have been a considerable size.
Oh, my God.
The sex toy, which is not considered a dangerous weapon, did not prompt the use of deadly force by investigators.
Oh, my God. Why did they jump to that?
I guess maybe some people thought, like, it would turn into Grand Theft Auto.
He pulls out the dildo and they just gun him down.
Yeah. Hornback was then tackled and disarmed from the dildo.
Drop the dildo!
He was then taken into custody. He is now free on a $750 bond.
That's nothing. Isn't that like $7?
What?
Isn't that like $7? Don't you only pay you only pay 10%?
Oh, I guess. I don't know. I've never.
Well, isn't that the thing?
I never had to pay for bail.
Well, Rich, you got to get arrested.
Yeah, I obviously have to.
You got to sleep on a dude's lawn with a dildo.
Right. I have to hang out with old people.
Yeah. Old. I don't know, man. Old people, they sound like they're having a blast. Where was he coming from?
Yeah.
What was he doing with this dildo?
And then just fell asleep.
I mean, yeah, just fell asleep.
This looks like a good spot.
Well, he's old. He gets tired.
I guess so.
You know? He couldn't make it all the way home.
Yeah.
Figure this is as good a place as any.
All right. So there you go. Our last Florida story there.
Oh, God.
All right. So unfortunately with that, it's time to say goodbye to the odd news. It's been a hell of a year for 2017.
It really has.
But wait.
Uh-oh.
I got one more left.
But wait, there's more.
And
all right, what do you
got? It's usually something that we report on at the end of the year.
Okay.
It's a kind of a recurring segment. Usually happens. Can you guess what it is, Mike?
Is it most used excuses to get out of work?
Yep, it is. It's time for the worst sick day excuses
of
2017. Oh, yeah.
And I know who it's coming from because I backtraced it. Because you done goofed.
All right.
Yes.
I love this segment.
So, yeah.
I had a feeling it was coming up. I was like, oh, we haven't done that segment yet.
Yep. So for those that are new to the podcast, yeah, usually at the end of the year, there's a story that comes out from CareerBuilder.com where they do a study of people taking sick days when they're not sick. And in the process of doing that study, they ask employers, what are the most ridiculous excuses workers have given you to take a day off of work? And they take the most ridiculous ones and they put it as an attachment to the study. And this year is no different. I have the results of the study. So first things first, let's get the statistics out of the way.
Okay.
CareerBuilder.com, their annual survey for sick day excuses of 2017 has provided them with the following interesting stats. 40% of workers have called in sick in 2017 when they weren't.
I believe it.
Which is an increase compared to 35% in 2016.
I feel like it should probably be higher than that, honestly.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing, too. Yeah, this is probably people who have admitted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably higher.
The people who are calling out sick the most, who aren't really sick, probably aren't taking the time to do surveys either.
Right. Another interesting stat here, 28% of workers who have a paid time off program still feel the need to make up an excuse, even though they do not have to supply one.
I believe that one, too.
Yeah, so there you go. So if you have a PTO program, yeah, you don't have to make up an excuse. You're fine. You're allowed to take a day off when you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, you earn that time.
Here's a scary stat. 38% of employers have checked up on a sick worker, and out of those, 26% have fired someone for using a fake excuse to take a day off of work.
Wow.
Wow, that's like some Ferris Bueller stuff.
Really?
I'm going to follow you, make sure you're legit.
Also,
I better hear a cough.
Yeah, right? When you call in, you got to have the cough. Question. What is their job supposed to be, and why aren't they doing it? Why are they busy investigating one person calling out sick?
Oh, that's an addendum to their job title.
Oh, okay. I just want to make
also
sure.
Also, investigative reporter.
Ah, of course.
Yeah. Mid-regional manager and investigative reporter.
It's just, it makes you wonder, like, if why are you there if you could take that much time to investigate why one person is absent, right?
Here's another interesting one. 43% of bosses have caught an employee lying about being sick simply by checking out their social media channels.
All right, that is all on the employee.
Oh.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
That's my secret. I don't use social media.
Well, here, if you're taking a day off, don't use social media.
Yeah, really.
Like, just
people are addicted; they can't help it.
Yeah, just
as soon as they make that phone
day off at home,
as soon as people make that phone call, they're probably like, "Must tweet about cheating system."
My boss is dumb. I'm taking a day off. LOL. Yeah.
Hashtag you won't fire me.
All right. So now with all the stats out of the way, are you ready to hear some of the most ridiculous excuses people have actually used to take a day off of work?
I am ready. I love this segment because there's usually crazy stuff. Like one year we had a person who said, I accidentally got on an airplane.
Yeah.
Another year we had somebody said, I think it was like grandma's ham poisoned me.
Yeah.
I mean, this has just been crazy stories, so I'm really looking forward to this. Hit me, hit me with the details.
Okay, number 10 here. Quote, I left my clothes at the laundromat last night. So then how did you get home?
Yeah.
Were you naked on the ride home?
He was just butt naked.
Yeah, what the hell?
I mean, I get it. Maybe like your specific work clothes, you know, but you got to be on top of things.
Oh.
Yeah, that one's a little suspect.
Yeah.
All right, ready for our next one here?
Yeah.
Okay, this one's a good one. A bear is in my yard and I'm afraid to come outside. Yeah, we're going down this road here.
I wrestled a bear once, 750-pound black bear. And then I started to dance with the bear like wrestling. I'm allergic to bear spit. I broke out in big welts. They had to wrap saran wrap around me. They got a big turkey neck. And they rubbed the turkey fat all over my body and put me in a ring with a bear. That's the sound the bear makes.
See, if only you had Gary Busey.
Yeah, yeah. Those wrestling skills really would have came in handy.
Yeah.
I got to admit, though, I totally side with the employee here. I would not want to go outside if there was a bear outside.
There's a bear in my yard.
And really, the employer, they should be like, okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
But that is crazy, though.
There's a bear in my yard.
Could you imagine getting that phone call? Yeah, I'm not going to be in work today because there is a bear in my yard. I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd probably ask that person to take a picture. Not because I want to like try and catch him or anything.
Let me see the bear.
I want to see the bear. Yeah, exactly.
How big is this bear?
Yeah. Is it like a grizzly? Is it a tiny bear?
All right. Here's our next one here. Quote, my Galaxy S7 Edge exploded in my hand and I have to go to the hospital.
Oh my God! Oh, okay. Oh, my head is burning up. Oh my God! Oh.
Question, how are you calling, texting, or emailing that?
Yes, this is the problem. How are you sending me a text message if your phone blew up?
You pull together the remains. You're pushing the buttons with the nubs of your fingers. My phone exploded in my hand. I mean, that was all over the news. But then
the next day you go into work, you better have it taped up.
Yeah, right?
You got to have your story straight. Your hand better be taped up, and you got to have a third-degree burn? You got to have the whole thing planned.
Got to have the whole story planned. And also, you have to think of this. When you go into work, you got to be prepared to not only show up with your hand taped up, but to work an entire day with one hand.
Yeah.
So see, excuses like that, they don't work.
Yep, not
because
good.
There's too much to follow up with. And then you can't just be miraculously healed. Like, you got to keep those bandages on for a couple of days then.
Yeah, right? It's a miracle.
Like, you go in the next day, you're like, oh, my hand. You can't go in the second day and be like, look, I'm cured.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
It's amazing what they can do with modern technology.
That's right. They just gave me a whole new hand.
It's like Empire Strikes Back.
There you go.
I got like, brand new,
it's a robot hand.
Brand new Luke Skywalker hand.
There you go. Perfect.
All right, number 7 on the list. I just realized I totally wasn't keeping up to date with the numbers. Number 7 on the list here, quote, I ate a toothpick while I was eating breakfast at my favorite restaurant this morning.
Well, so don't eat the toothpick then.
That's it. Nothing you can do.
Well, was he in medical danger? Like, did he stab his throat, or did it go all the way down and he's just fine other than having a toothpick in him?
He ate the toothpick. I don't know.
That's
the excuse. I ate a toothpick while eating breakfast at my favorite restaurant this morning.
What an idiot. You don't feel that like as you're chewing?
Yeah.
Or did you just swallow that thing whole?
Isn't it good for fiber?
How do you accidentally eat a toothpick?
Yeah.
They're sharp.
It would have
They're like to... long. They're like a couple of inches long. You would feel that in your mouth.
The only way you could do that is if you actually like inserted it long ways and like you didn't realize it.
But are you not chewing?
Right. What are you doing?
Are you just swallowing? Did you put it in your coffee and you drank it down?
Yeah. At some point you should have felt the toothpick in your mouth.
Yeah. I'm calling BS on that one. If anybody out there has eaten a toothpick before, tweet at the Crispy Noodle.
There you go. Let us know. All right. Next one. Ooh, this one's appropriate considering what you said earlier in the podcast. Quote,
okay.
I was wrestling a female bodybuilder at the gym and she broke my arm.
No, I'm going to f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style. Kill my bitch in my ultimate form.
Yes.
You got to be careful with those female bodybuilders.
Yeah, man. They'll pick you up.
Why are you wrestling a female bodybuilder?
Why not?
And she broke my arm. Also, that is a terrible opponent. Like, like I'm winning, but I really want to rub it. She just snaps the arm in half. That's messed up. I'm pretty sure.
No mercy!
Yeah, no mercy.
She's from Cobra Kai.
Just breaking limbs.
No mercy!
I mean, realistically, she probably didn't mean to, but I just have this image in my
head. Cobra Kai, do or die, no mercy!
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. It's like they're just wrestling, and she just breaks this person's arm.
Number five on our list here. Quote, I can't work, I'm too fat, my uniform doesn't fit me anymore.
Got to get a bigger uniform.
Yeah.
That sucks.
But you're going to have to come in so we can figure out, like, how we get a bigger uniform for you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like they
don't
probably...
you have any other clothes?
I feel like they probably have a way to fix that problem.
Yeah.
They got to order bigger uniforms.
Yeah. Come on. There's a way around that.
Yeah.
Number four. Quote, my dog swallowed my car keys, so now I have to wait until it comes out.
Yeah. Could be a while. His walk is at around noon, so.
Yeah. It's going to be a long time there.
Got to be honest. Those keys, I'm never using those keys again if that happened to me.
My bunghole, it goes and then sometimes my bunghole goes.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know what else he could do? He could grab the dog and squeeze its stomach to activate the clicker.
Beep, beep. Yeah. Come here. Come here, boy.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah, just click that.
Give him a good squeeze.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the cars, they have those proximity keys now. So, really, oh my gosh. Cars have those proximity keys, so you don't actually need to, like, turn a key. You just get close to the car, and you open the door. Guess what? Dog's going to work.
There you go.
Perfect.
And everybody want to pet your dog.
Yeah, and every time he barks, you hear a key chirp thing.
Yeah, it's great.
There you go.
Just like that. Just simple.
Fido sounds different.
Yeah, perfect. All right, number three, quote, I ran out of gas in my tank, and now I don't have enough gas to get to work today.
So what? You're just stranded in the middle of nowhere?
You're just stranded now. That's it. You're done.
I don't have enough gas to get to work.
don't expect me to do
but
anything
But instead
else.
Of walking to work, I'm definitely walking back home.
Yep. I am done. The day is over.
Just stop and get gas. Just be like 10 minutes late. Stop and get gas.
Number two, quote, I have to reschedule a new manicure because some of my artificial nails fell off today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, now
no,
I don't.
No, that's, no.
Yes, I'm going to have to plead ignorance. I have no idea I don't know, maybe to women that's a big deal. I don't know. I have no
just
idea.
Just take the rest of the fake nails off. I don't know. I don't know how fake nails work. Don't they just come, like, on and off?
Sure, I don't know. I have
no idea.
Is this
like one of those people with the really big nails? You know what I'm talking about? Where they have like the nails that are like multiple inches long.
I guess so.
And they click, 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 click.
And I guess they must be expensive too. Maybe that's it too.
Just go in with missing nails. That shouldn't be an excuse to miss work. It's not like a medical emergency. You're not sick. You're missing like a nail or two. Doesn't make sense.
No.
That's a silly excuse.
All right. Are you ready for the last one?
I'm ready.
The what CareerBuilder.com has ranked the weirdest sick day excuse of 2017?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
The eclipse is happening, and I'm not sure how the solar eclipse will affect my personality.
What?
I must stay at home today.
What?
Yes, the freaking eclipse. I can't leave the house.
That's the dumbest. Why would it affect your personality? And also, it only happens for like a few minutes. It's not like the sun stays, the moon stays in front of the sun. That's just dumb.
But Mike, what if I turn into a different person?
It's just a risk you're going to have to take. Why would it change your personality, though?
The moon!
The moon!
What am I going to do? It's blocking out the sun!
You just look up and you go, my God, time to go crazy.
It's full of stars! That's the top 10 craziest excuses people actually used to get out of work this year in 2017. And that will officially wrap up the non-fortune cookie odd news. But before we officially wrap up this week's episode, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
All right, well, first of all, I learned that apparently eclipses can get you out of work.
Yeah, it's going to affect your personality.
Yeah, and you can't go to work if your personality is being affected.
Yeah.
Gotta call out for that one. So, you know, not many people know you can use the eclipse as an excuse, but...
You gotta wait another 30 years whenever the next eclipse is.
Well, make yourself a note.
Yeah.
Sticky note.
Remind me.
Attach it to your desk. But I also learned that cop lights is the most childish way to explain a police siren.
Thanks, Florida.
Good job, guys. Your criminals are dumb and your reporters are dumb, too. Cop lights.
Cop lights.
It really does. It sounds like a six-year-old writing that story. But something a six-year-old can't do, and that's build IKEA furniture. Because, apparently, I didn't realize this, but it's an important step. You got to get naked to build IKEA furniture.
Yes, very important. The Swedish, they don't, you know, that's just assumed in Sweden.
Right. It's part of the Swedish culture.
Yep.
And when you're building IKEA furniture, of course, you have to do like the Swedes do. Got to get out your Allen wrench, your Swedish meatballs.
Yep.
And
you got naked food equipment. That's how it goes.
Perfect. The trifecta. And finally, speaking of getting naked, here's a good tip for everyone. Follow old people for the best hookers.
Apparently. They know where to go.
They know where the best hookers are. They know the good prices. They know who gives the best blowjobs. The old people, they're just very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Find yourself an old person and just absorb their wisdom.
I think it's good logic.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast coming to a close. Actually, on a programming note, I think it's time to realize this. This is like the last, quote-unquote, last like regular episode.
Yeah, next week we'll have the annual Christmas special.
Yeah, it's already time to do the Christmas episode.
And I can't believe it. It's always one of my favorites. And then following that, I think we usually do an end of the year Best of the Odd News.
Yep, Best of Odd News 2017 for New Year's.
So we love planning these two shows. We got tons of great surprises for you guys. So make sure you pay attention to all the social media, the website, and of course your podcast subscription feeds.
That's right, because we're going to have some quality content coming your way over the next 2 weeks for the holiday season. It's already time.
That's right. And Rich, where can you find more information about the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
Yep. You can check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. You can like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, or follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, best bits, interviews, and a whole lot more. Of course, the best place to get all the Crispy Noodle goodness is the iTunes and Stitcher feeds. Make sure you download, subscribe, and search for download and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Sorry, it's late.
That's all right. You've been through a roller coaster of emotions.
It's been wild here.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have enjoyed the ride.
Yep. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, shrunk down to a 2-minute promo that you can easily share with friends and family, the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. Let us know how you're celebrating the holiday season. Let us know also if there's any odd news stories from 2017.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that you'd like to hear on our New Year's episode, the best of the odd news. We'll take requests.
Hashtag best of the odd news.
Yep, because
best odd news.
We have a whole database to go over. Yeah. So
help us.
Help us out. But for now, this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will wrap it up. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. The Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.